Capita Morning Tayes. You are listening to the Monsters and Friends podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to the cryptids, legends, and lores that might not get the same kind of attention as their larger-than-life counterparts. Sorry if I alienated anyone of actual Irish descent, but I am your host, Michael Patrick, and I am, in fact, Irish. But, you know, no, not like real Irish, but I'm the kind of Irish that most Americans like to be. But this week is a very, very special week here on the Monsters and Friends podcast. Next to Christmas, this is absolutely my favorite holiday. One of the biggest reasons is my mom absolutely adored St. Patrick's Day. So St. Patrick's Day is always a little bit rough for me. I try not to be too real on this podcast, but I lost my mom a number of years ago, and this holiday was one that she absolutely adored. So I always get a bit melancholy around St. Patrick's Day. However, I know for a fact that if she listened to this and she heard me being all like sad about it, she'd probably either take off her shoe or grab a wooden spoon and whack me with it. So instead, we are going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and tonight, today, this afternoon, whatever time it is, wherever you are, when you are listening, we're doing something very special. So we're going to go a little BuzzFeed cliche, and we're not going to highlight just one thing. We are going to highlight three of them. What? Did I go crazy? Absolutely. But you know what? That doesn't really matter to me in this case. However, methinks this could be very fun. And as per BuzzFeed rules, when doing multiple things, you have to do it in list form. So the difference is I'll try to breathe in this video while talking, unlike those BuzzFeed videos where they just talk like this and then they go really, really fast. And also, you know what? By the way, too, please, BuzzFeed, don't sue me. I have no money. So, but before we get into that, there's a pretty serious thing that I was asked to address on the podcast. Now, I hate to serious it up again, but recently I was listening to another amazing podcast, and that one's called Graveyard Tales. So, in this week's episode of their show, they covered the Snallygaster. At one point, gosh, man, this is really hard. One of their hosts, Adam, I believe it was, questioned the validity of the creature, saying that perhaps it was created to keep people away from moonshine stills. Well, unfortunately, there seems to be an issue here. I brought attention to it earlier, and, oh boy, I'm being beckoned to turn over the mic, so, you know what, I'm sorry,
well,
Adam.
You should be hold on, Mike. This week, I was practicing for an upcoming euchre tournament with Snally when I heard that nonsense that you were listening to. Whatever.
Either way, not nonsense.
They insulted Snally. So guess what? I invited her here to the cabin to clear the air.
Oh, good.
You know what, Michael? Well, I do not mean to be a grumpy Gus in this situation and come into your house and be angry, but I just heard some sort of nonsense going on here, and I feel that I have to clear the air. Look, some people for hundreds of years have said that my family ain't real. Well, here I am. I ain't no phony, y'all. I'm a real deal Holyfield. And I am here to tell Mr. Adam that anytime he wants me in the show, sweetie, y'all just gotta ask. Yeah, you know what? Well, my ancestors, they used to guard those shiner stills, but times have changed, pal. We're just members of the cryptid community like anyone else, and I would love an apology for even suggesting that perhaps I'm not a real thing. Do you understand how hard it is to get people to believe in you when you have a radio man saying other things? Do you? Well, dearie me, see, oh, now I'm getting all flustered. Michael, you know, I appreciate what you do, but make sure that you keep our feelings in mind, too. We are real things, sir. Now, Barry and I is trying to get our euchre on so we can win this here tournament. We playing against the Jersey Devil and the Bigfoot and the Shape Squatch and all that nonsense. But you know what? That's all I gotta say. So, Mr. Big Radio Man over there with the graveyard house thing, sir, you better watch yourself. Bye.
Way to go, Chase.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know what to say. Well, alrighty. Well, you know what? I guess we'll just move right along after that. And just, okay, I don't even know. Anyway, as I said, this week we are celebrating St. Patrick's Day. We are going to highlight three separate Irish cryptids, legends, and a bit of lore that we love and we really want to share with all of you. So, let's jump right into it. We're deviating a little bit this week and moving a tiny bit away from Old Reliable, which is usually just talking about cryptids. This week, we're going to sprinkle in some legends and lore as well. And we're going to start right off the bat with our first one. Through the course of St. Patrick's Day, my two youngest daughters are going to spend the day hunting for the legendary leprechaun. He always shows up in the house and he does some like crazy stuff. You know, somehow the toilet water always turns green, chocolate gold coins that may or may not be left over from Halloween end up in the randomest of places, like inside shoes. And of course, all the girls' dress-up stuff somehow gets strewn about their room because, I mean, honestly, what self-respecting leprechaun doesn't want to dress up like a wench? I mean, they love it, though. So they squeal and they run and they build these little leprechaun traps. Well, Dad's not so interested in the leprechaun as he is in the leprechaun's cousin. Let me introduce you to the Clericon. Why do I want to see the Clericon instead? Well, there are those that believe that the Clericon isn't a separate entity, but rather simply a leprechaun on a bit of a drinking bender, and I can get down with that. Instead of chocolate coins, I really hope next year he hides some Guinness around, and I can go ahead and look for it this time. I also want to apologize for probably butchering what this little fellow is called, so hopefully if I leave out some booze tonight, we'll be all set. But let me tell you a little bit more about our new friend here. We are fully aware of what a leprechaun looks like, right? Small, wears green, and he hops around hiding gold and fixing your shoes and stuff. He's a cobbler. Well, the Clericon is very, very far from that. He just described as measuring about 6 inches of height. He has a face like a withered apple. He has twinkling eyes and a nose that's different shades of red and purple due to his love for heavy drinking. When you see him, you'll know him by his red nightcap, short leather apron, light blue stockings, and dark shoes with large silver buckles. Well, at least that's how Thomas Croft and Crocker described the little fella. Most of their tales describe a creature quite similar as well. The Clericon is known to be a very, very surly little fellow, unlike his happy-go-lucky cousin the leprechaun. What does a Clericon do in its free time, you ask? Well, let me tell you. A favorite pastime of the Clericon is to terrorize farmers all throughout the Irish countryside. They absolutely adore a good ride on the back of a sheep or a dog, and if you're ever in Ireland and you hear a sheep losing its mind, take a peek because this little fella is probably hitching a ride on its back, having one heck of a time. But make sure that you are weary if you happen to catch a glimpse of this fella. He'll quickly talk his way into your home and terrorize you. He'll steal whatever isn't nailed down and drink whatever you have in your house, tearing up everything along the way. It's pretty easy to keep these little drunkards happy, though. All you have to do is keep them fed, drunk, and content. There was a family in Cork County, Ireland, that did the opposite of that, though. They used to feed a Clericon every night and leave a little nightcap for him. Well, one night the cook didn't leave what the creature wanted, And the Clarkon dragged her downstairs and proceeded to cause all sorts of havoc. In response, the cook and her husband had heard that if she had moved across the stream, the Clarkon wouldn't be able to follow. They packed up everything in their home, including the wine barrels, but the Clarkon was pretty smart and he knew what was happening. They're known to be quite intelligent, so this was a little tricky. What he had ended up doing was he wedged himself between two barrels, and when the lady of the house saw this, he said he was ready to move when she noticed the little fella. So, exhausted by this, the woman simply decided to unpack and stay where she was because she assumed that this small, drunken beast would just simply be able to move with her when, in fact, he actually wouldn't be able to. So, she was outwitted by a tiny, drunken fella. The woman of the house ended up passing on, of course, but the rumor is that the Clarkon still calls the wine cellar in this house its home, forever haunting who lives there. I mean, talk about insanity, but let's review, okay? So to keep a Clarkon happy, simply leave it some booze and some food, and poof, there you go. Just kind of like a college
kid.
Our next is a fairly interesting creature. Of course, we're talking about the Pooka. You know who he is, right? Well, who doesn't? You know what? Actually, I had no idea. But he's really, really interesting. Let's start what I think is the most interesting part. The Pooka is a shape-shifting creature that is known to take the form of a horse, a rabbit, a goat, a dog, and sometimes a cat. Occasionally, the Pooka can even take the form of a human. But there's a little bit of an issue with that one. Have you ever seen the movie Men in Black when the dude, the cockroach guy, puts on the Vincent D'Onofrio suit? It's similar to that, right? Usually, when it turns into a human, it can't quite muster up all the oomph that it needs to fully form itself. It still has some semblance of its original animal form. So there's been versions when a Pooka turns into a human inside of someone's home, but it wasn't able to shake its long, thick tail or pointy, hairy ears or, in some cases, weird animal-like legs. So I can't imagine that you wouldn't know that you're not dealing with a person when you're talking to grandma and suddenly you notice that her kneecaps are bent the wrong way. But, you know, I digress. I mean, sometimes, I guess, grandmas can be horse creatures. But more often than not, if you see a Pooka, it's in the form of a large black horse. The Pooka also comes with other fairly large question marks surrounding it. A pretty big one is whether or not the Pooka is a good creature or a bad creature. I've seen accounts where they've described this as being a, and I quote, wicked-minded, black-looking, bad thing. Sometimes they come in the form of a dark, wild colt that have chains dangling from their mouths, and they did a really good job of beating up unwary travelers. They really like causing mischief as well, because, well, what Irish legend or lore actually doesn't, right? Occasionally, they'd find a traveler on the road, and they'd offer them a ride. You see a horse, and you say, hey, let me take you up on that. Welp, instead of just a nice, smooth trot through the countryside, they'd give them a wicked, bucking ride from hell and generally would then drop them off in the same place that they picked them up from, getting them literally nowhere. Isn't that awesome? Not to mention that I've seen some stories in which they've been referred to as bloodthirsty creatures that like to hunt down people and eat them. Good times. But it's not all bad. It's also been reported by, other people that haven't been eaten by these creatures, that they're not all bad. They're actually known sometimes to be quite nice and very helpful to farmers. There's a specific tale of a young man named Patrick. I can already tell this is simply a story because of how this is described, okay? That's as I tell you, you'll figure it out. So this young man noticed an invisible Pooka trotting on by him in the fields. So that's number one, right? I can't get my son to answer me when I'm like yelling his name from 4 feet away and then texting him while staring at him. You know, I blame SpongeBob for all that mess. Is that still a thing? I don't know. Anyway, Patrick noticed this creature walking by and called out to it, offering his coat. Mind you, it was invisible. Well, the puka was so overjoyed that the young man was willing to be so charitable that it took the young man, it took his coat, and it told the young man that it would help him out with his chores around the farm. Every night, the puka would secretly come to the barn, sometimes with its puka buddies, and they would mill all the corn there into flour. Sometimes, Patrick would sneak into the barn and nap in hopes of catching sight of the puka party. Eventually, the boy gave the puka a suit made of fine silk, and the puka used it to see the world, because as we all know, as soon as you get that sick suit, you want to show everybody. The puka ended up bouncing to travel the world in his sick new threads, but the farmer was so loaded at this point, it didn't even matter. Patrick ended up going to a great school, and he got all smartened up and stuff, and he met an amazing young Irish lass, and he got married. The puka ended up showing up to the young man's wedding, and he brought him an amazing present. It brought Patrick and his bride a golden cup that had a magical liquid inside of it. The liquid would ensure the happiness of anyone who drank it, and boy oh boy, was that one heck of a present. Sometimes it's also been known to intervene and prevent terrible accidents from happening, so there's that as well. Who knows if it's benevolent or if it's evil? Maybe it depends on the person, you know? If you're a bad dude, bad things happen. If you're an observant, nice kid with some silk lying around to make a sweet suit, you're gonna get some magic liquid. You know, I wonder how the Cluricon feels about this magic liquid.
A tree. Huh.
Anyway. And finally, Old Reliable. Well, kind of. The last one is an actual cryptid monster that some have legitimately seen. So there's an Irish word that's gruagach, which can mean magician, giant, or ogre. But actually, this means the hairy one, or at least that's according to Nick Redfern's The Bigfoot book. And again, I apologize for calling us the gruagach. If you can hear me, grua guy, please don't come to my house and crush me. But this cryptid is actually known as Ireland's very own Bigfoot anyway. It's fairly similar to the one that we all know and love, but there are some discernible differences from its American counterpart. The biggest difference, of course, is its size. Unlike its larger hulking cousin, the gruagach is more human-sized. By that, I mean it's a bit slighter than its iron-pumping compadre. It's also been said to have a bit of a smaller, flat face with an upturned nose and a protruding brow ridge. It's been called piggish, but I'm pretty sure if I called it piggish again. I mean, I've already had a snallygaster in here. I don't need one of these guys, too. Either way, it's very similar to the look of a Neanderthal, much more than that of the traditional hairy, big man, like Bigfoot or the Yeti or Bat Squatch, Sheep Squatch. He looks like a sheep, whatever. What's really interesting about the gruagach is the fact that unlike most places around the world where these kind of creatures are predominant, Ireland isn't really known for being a very forested region. It's known for its bogs and its lochs, and honestly, only about 1% of it is covered by forest. The most forest there happens to be in the County Wicklow, and of course, with forests comes great responsibility, along with at least one gruagach sighting. I mean, that's pretty interesting though, right? In the county that has the least amount of forests, there hasn't been any sightings. So, I mean, I know that sounds like it's one of those like dumb moments, but if you think about it, I mean, it makes sense, right? And one of the other cool things is there's actually been some fairly recent sightings of these creatures as well. In 2016, a woman was walking her dogs through the forest near Slia Venera Forest. Again, sorry. I also said forest twice, huh? Her dogs started getting weird, so of course, she started snapping some pictures because that's what you do when you're scared, right? When she got home, she reviewed them and she noticed that in one of the pictures, there was something walking through the shot. In the picture, it's weird. It looks fairly light out. And this thing, I think it would be pretty easily seen. But, I mean, honestly, one really can't say until they're in that situation and they're trying to figure out what's going on. But, honestly, to be fair anyway, the picture really looks like somebody just kind of walking in a ghillie suit. Like, really similar to a ghillie suit. But who knows, right? About a year later, someone else had an experience which may lend some proof to this. A nature photographer and her husband were taking their dog for a walk when they suddenly heard a strange, loud howling noise. Of course, their dog started barking back at the noise, but then it stopped. A few seconds later, it popped up again, but it was in a different location. The dog barked and it stopped. Guess what? Happened again. A couple seconds later, in a different location. So it kept getting closer and closer to these people. And eventually it just stopped and stopped. But eventually she decided that it would be best to leave, and she did exactly that. Eventually she came back with a smaller dog, and she didn't hear any noises, but as she was walking, she saw there were some trees knocked into X's across the path. Also, this is very ominous. Her dog lost its ball, and they couldn't find it anywhere. What a Richard. The thing took the poor dog's ball. How do I know that? Because the next day they came back, and there it was, right in the middle of the path. And again, this all seems coincidental and easy to explain, right? The old misidentification answer, eh? Well, guess what? There was another reported sighting. Yeah. This time, a woman and her husband were walking yet another dog in the Alivianora forest when they came across a person huddled next to the trail. Well, the dogs got mad and they started barking. This creature then raised its head and it showed that it wasn't actually a human. Oof, but it was something else, right? Possibly a Gruagach. Either way, the lady's husband approached it like any intelligent man would do, and the thing stood up. She said when it stood up, it was about 8 feet tall with lanky arms and it was carrying a big stick. Of course it was carrying a big stick. Well, it got mad and it smacked the stick against the nearby tree, and then Usain bolted off into the woods. Later that year, another man claims to have seen a creature that was very similar to this in the same area. So these sightings have actually popped up all over Ireland and England. I mean, it's a Bigfoot, right? It sounds like a Bigfoot, a different kind of Bigfoot. But either way, the Gruagach really likes to travel. So there have been some random videos seen, but of course they're mostly circumstantial and dismissed by most. But they've been spotted in different parts of northern, southern Ireland and also in parts of England. But as I always say, why is it so hard to believe that there may be bipedal primates that have survived and live in the wilderness? A guy told me once that they were animals. They would be too stupid to stay hidden this long. I laughed. This was coming from a guy that's a member of a species that considers Tide Pods to be a good snack. You know, there isn't a ton of evidence to support that the Gruagach is real, but like most that see things like this, that personal experience that they have is good enough. Of course, some always explain these away as hoaxes and such as the first modern sighting, and it probably was just that. It's just a guy in a ghillie suit, but there are a few others that seem much more realistic. They have actually found the skull of an ape in Ireland as well. There's evidence to suggest that apes were brought to Ireland way back in the day, and who knows, maybe some of them survived. I don't think there's any kind of stretch to that. They don't have to be animals that build, like, treetop skyscrapers and underground trains. It's not a Planet of the Apes. It's simply a species of ape that's managed to go virtually undetected through the ages, and they've learned to live beyond the reach of Tide Pod eaters. I'd say that's a pretty fair possibility, but honestly, as usual, no one really knows. What I do know, though, is that Ireland has some amazing folklore and legends, and perhaps some other creatures that are steeped in reality. There's so much more to go into as well, but these are just a couple of my favorites. You know, I did debate, though, about putting in the Salmon of Knowledge on the list, but I ended up deciding against it. You should Google it, though. Actually, you know what? Check out the blog. Maybe it'll magically appear on there. Magically. Who knows? Magic. I don't know. But make sure to head on over to the website at some point in the next week or so and check out the blog. Head to monstersandfriends.wordpress.com and see some more Irish lore, namely the Salmon of Knowledge. Also, let me know if there's any other great Irish legends that you know and love. Head on over to the Twitterverse and give us a follow at MNFPod and let us know your favorite. You can also find us on Instagram at Monsters and Freds or on the Facebook. Just search for the Monsters and Friends podcast and bam, there we are. But of course, as always, the best thing to do is to find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or even Spotify. Make sure that you subscribe on there and please, 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 please give us a review. I'll tell you what. If you leave a ranking, a rating, and a review, screenshot it and tweet it at me. Or you can DM it to me and I'll go ahead and send you a small token of our appreciation. We absolutely love and appreciate our listeners. And if you can give us a little bit of help, that would be wonderful. Also, next week is going to be a dark week for us. We're packing up the wagon and heading south for some fun in the sun. And I'm going to try to find the skunk ape. I think that'll actually be kind of fun. I don't know how Mrs. Patrick feels about that, but we'll figure that out, right? Also, I want to apologize to Adam at Graveyard Tales for Snally. Apparently she's really moody, but I guess we all have our days, right? And on this Irishest of weeks, may the sun shine all day long, everything go right and nothing wrong. May those you love bring back love to you, and may all the wishes you wish come true. Thanks so much for stopping by the cabin, and we'll chat again real soon.